Hello and welcome to this episode of the Pretty Girls Club. So in this episode, as you can tell, I'm wiling quite a bit because I don't even have a mic stand anymore and I'm just holding it like I'm a singer. Anyways, so for this episode, this is actually an Ask Me Anything episode. So I put it out on Instagram, Threads, if you're on it. I put it out on everywhere on social media and here are a bunch of questions that you guys sent in. So in this episode, I'm going to try and make it as fast and quick and painless and fun as possible. And I'm just going to answer everything a little bit unhingedly, if that's a word. So yes, I have a whole list of like almost 30 questions and I'm just going to run through them and just have fun with it, okay? Because I don't know why y'all trying to ask me out there, but here I am. At your service, ready to answer anything. Sorry, didn't mean to sound like that. Anyways, let's just get into it. And before we begin,
fuck it up, sis. Fuck it up.
That's what I'm gonna do for today's episode. So I'm just gonna wild out, have fun, and I have your list of questions on my phone right here, right now. So first up, what is my favorite day of the week? It's definitely not Sunday. I think for me, why I got a Sunday slander until like this, yeah. Okay, I would say, honestly, it's Friday. It's a Friday because I conveniently do a lot of work on a Friday knowing that people will not talk to me or reply me until Monday. So I think that's where I get my burst of energy to like faster reply everything, reply everybody, because even they will not talk to me for 2 days, you know, so I don't have to deal with human interaction anytime soon. So I do enjoy that quite a bit, and I do enjoy spending my Friday nights to like socialize with people I actually want to socialize with. So yes, Friday is probably my favorite day of the week. Oh, actually, I don't know why I slander Sundays. Yeah, I was born on a Sunday. Anyways, do you have a favorite color? Oh my god, growing up, I would always say blue, but I think I was just conditioned to think that blue was a male color. So I think I was just like, girls can also like blue, so I think I was just trying to be a pick-me loser. But I do actually like blue a lot. So why did I say all that? My dress is blue right now. Okay, no, but I did like blue and all its variations from like turquoise, teal, I liked all that. And then I grew up and then I just like black. So yeah, I wear black all the time. I really am not in this much color on a normal day. But yes, blue, black, still some of my all-time faves. Okay, next question. How do you cope with the stresses that come with being pretty, please? Wow. Ah, something like that. Relax, it's them chill. No, I'm kidding, it's really not. How do I cope with the stresses? Okay, I don't think I have very good coping mechanisms because I do spiral and have mental breakdowns very, very, very often. But I'm trying my best. As I film this, I'm literally going for my first therapy session this week. Wait, what can I use? Well, I don't have any positive ones, huh? So I honestly shocked myself when I finally signed up for it, and I'm quite proud of myself. So that is definitely something I'm hoping will help me cope with a lot of the stress and anxiety I have on a day-to-day basis. So definitely like not putting all my eggs in a basket, because I have hesitated for a very long time, but I'm just going into it with an open mind. Hopefully it's gonna help me. So other than that, what else I used to cope is just having a massive, like, an amazing, having a massive boner. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I was just like, what am I going to say, right? I say until like that. Having a huge support system. So I think, okay, by huge, I don't mean quantity or like amount of people. I just mean the amount of support they give me. So I do have like a handful of like very close friends that I tell anything and everything to, that I talk about, that I call whenever, yeah, wherever. Shakira, yeah, suddenly. But yeah, so yeah, support system, like, that's very, 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 very important. Also having an emotional support animal, aka just a pet in your life, is very, very helpful. That has gotten me through every single thing, honestly, every single crazy thing I've been through in my life. Okay, next question. Do you believe in magic? Do I believe in magic? Wow. Do I believe that a human being this attractive and perfect and beautiful can exist, and can it not be magic? No, so I guess I believe in magic because I'm alive and I'm here. What? Do I actually believe in magic? I guess it impresses me a lot every time I see a magic trick, and I'm constantly fooled. But I also am very practical and realistic, so sometimes I'll just be there like, I need to find out how this person did it. I need to know how. And then I'll just need to sit there and spiral and think about it for days. Or go and Google the magic trick and figure out how they did it. But yeah, I did grow up watching a lot of Chris Angel Mind Freak. That freaked me out a lot. I also watched a lot of David Blaine doing some insane stuff on TV. So it did always intrigue me and impress me. And do I believe in it completely? I'm not sure. It depends on the trick. Okay? Yes, it depends on the trick. Okay. How old am I? Okay, suddenly I'll talk about my age.
Child. Anyway, so...
Also, I'm not ashamed to say my age. I am 28. I'm turning 29 this year. But like, weird. Google me or some shit, I guess. Why would you ask me? Anyway, why am I so annoying in this episode? It's only like, what, the fifth question? Okay, yes. Next question. How do you deal with your social battery dying out but you can't cancel the plans? Wow, this one... This happens almost every single day of my life because my social battery runs out way quicker than I would ever anticipate. And it's quite bad because sometimes I guess I do expect it to run out pretty fast when I'm doing things that I'm not necessarily like very excited to do, or like some level of obligations, you know, or like work things that I don't know anyone else who's going to be there. And I'm just going there trying to like, because I want to, but also like, I'm just like, okay, I probably should leave soon because I'm alone and this is very awkward and I feel uncomfortable. So yeah, my social battery runs out very fast in those settings. But I guess I get very bummed out when it runs out in social settings that I want to be at. So sometimes you cannot control these things and your social battery is not equivalent to like, I guess your emotions and how you're in, and it's not the same as your mood, you know, your social battery is not the exact same as, yeah, your mood of the day and your headspace and where you're at. Social battery really can run out in a matter of seconds. Like, okay, this is a very sad example, but I didn't tell anyone else about, but just last weekend, I had a Taylor Swift listening party in my house with my friends, and it was something I looked forward to for weeks, or like whenever we planned it, I talked about it every single day. We were so excited to do it, but I physically felt my social battery run out maybe 1 or 2 hours into the hangout, and I noticed how I was just silent and I just sat in a corner and I was not really there. I didn't feel very present. So I felt very, it's funny that this question is like just came in, but yeah, I felt like that and I felt very shitty about it. And after all my friends left at the end of the night, I literally cried. And I was like, why? I feel so shitty. I feel so ungrateful because I feel like everybody is here and I did have a very nice time. But did I also, in the back of my mind, just feel very physically exhausted and just wanting to just be completely alone and just in my bed and tucked in and not even asleep, but I just wanted to do nothing. So yes, I felt my social battery run out and it bummed me out a lot. But It just felt even shittier because it was a hangout that I was actually really looking forward to, and actually all I was looking forward to all week. So that made me very upset. But I guess how I cope with it is to just... I mean, I do have friends that obviously are good enough and understanding enough to tell me that that's okay and that's valid and that's fair. And I also know that. So it does help lah. But of course, in that moment, you can't help but feel very like... shitty about everything. So, but what I've also learned in the last couple of months is that I really need to start saying no better. I need to say no to like work obligations or things that I feel are obligations but sometimes really might not be, or I just feel like, yeah, I feel the need to like, I need to show up, I need to be there. But sometimes if I know I'm gonna have like not a good time at all, I know I'm gonna go there and be in a space that I don't feel comfortable in, I need to like start saying no, and I need to actually be like really like giving myself like, okay, you know what, I need to leave in 10 minutes and I'm leaving in 10 minutes no matter what. So at least I can also like clock the work obligation or actually attend an event that I want to be at, even though I know I might not enjoy the company per se, or like I might feel some type of way lah, you know. So it's just tricky, it depends. But I guess in this field of work that I do, it happens more often than not. But you need to learn to say no, especially if you're worried about mental health, social battery, all these things. You need to prioritize yourself. Okay, next one. Tell us some influencer tea. Wow. Why you ask me this kind of question? I don't know, Sia. I have a lot. I have a lot. I swear I have too much. But I also don't want to, like, just, I guess, sit there and expose how shitty people actually are, because, like, these are not people that I choose to keep in my life or my social circles, and it might just be an encounter and I see them behave shittily. But I also expect, I don't expect anything different, you know. I don't expect more of certain people. So when I see them behave the way that I expect them to, or like that, yeah, I'm just like, whatever lah, you do you. You're not someone I want to keep in my life. You're not somebody I want to be friends with. So I usually avoid at all costs. But recently I've been telling myself that I need to not just avoid them physically at all costs, but I need to also be able to press unfollow. And I need to be able to also, like, hit unfollow, because I don't necessarily need that energy in my life, or need to see toxic ass people, like, do weird ass problematic things and get away with it all the time, or very questionable things on the internet. And I just don't want to, like, be subjected to this kind of shit. So yeah, I guess for me that's a struggle. But I don't know what influencer tea, I don't know. I guess a lot of people are not as nice as they seem on the internet, but that is also something that's not really tea. It's quite obvious. A lot of people put a front on the internet. They like to come off some type of way, but they are truly not. But then again, we also have our bad days, our off days, so I get it. But some people are just mean-spirited in general. The way they treat service staff, the way they treat my non-influencer friends. I've been in many situations where so many, like, influencers, personalities or whatever, like, come talk to me, or they want to, like, say hi, they want to come take a picture with me or whatever at an event. And it's, to me, it's a bit lame to, like, you want to come take a picture with me, but you will not have a conversation, or you are not even equipped to have a basic normal conversation or a decent small talk conversation, but you just want to clock the whatever for the gram. And to me, that's lame. And then if I'm there with, like, my plus one, who is not necessarily someone from the industry, because I usually, if I ever show up to an event with the plus one, it's probably Shark or any of my friends who might be interested in the event, so I bring them along, right? So it's a bit like the amount of times I've seen people be rude to my friends, or, like, just act like they are invisible and completely not acknowledge them. It's so shitty, because it's just the, you see the juxtaposition lah, of how, like, you will come and treat me like some freaking queen and come and want to talk to me and, like, want to take a picture of me, like, wow, what an honor to meet me. Then after that, you just act like this person invisible. So it's very shitty lah. And I always am in a position where my friends understand that I don't bother to introduce someone to them unless I think it's worth their time. So if we're standing there at a social setting, at an event or whatever, I will not go out of my way and be like, hey, you need to meet this person. Unless I can really vouch for this person, I think they're cool, they're actually nice, then I'll do that lah. You know, I should be like, hey, let me introduce. Or, like, when the person comes up to say hi to me or whatever, I'll be like, oh, by the way, this is my friend. Or, by the way, this is my boyfriend. I will bother to do that only if I feel like it's worth my time and energy. So I won't do that with everyone, I feel. Sometimes it's also like, oh, awkward. Depends on the context, circumstance, all these things. But I guess I would not go on my way to introduce unless they seem like a decent human being lah, you know, if not for what, right? But yeah, I think personally, like, it's not even just the ignoring my friends or not being nice to another human being there, but there have been people who've been gone out of their way to be assholes and actually be rude to the people that I'm with. And that to me is like, it's the most ick, red flaggy, problematic behavior. So I have effectively cut those people out. I will not, you're like, you're dead to me lah. If you're gonna be mean to, like, my friends and people who do nothing but just exist and be amazing ass people to me, and you wanna act like because they are not famous, I'm doing air quotes by the way, because that's stupid, because who in Singapore is really famous? I think that's really dumb. But anyways, if you don't know how to just treat another human being with basic respect and decency, I really don't understand why I have to be anywhere near you and why I need to give you any time of my day, right? So yeah, a lot of people are like that, and it's very gross and disappointing. But I mean, it might be disappointing for y'all, but not for me, because I expect the worst and I usually am met with the worst. So anyways, next one is relive one of your favorite moments in your life. Wow. I guess the day that I took Maxi home. I got a few very really solid ones up there. It depends lah. Okay, so I've had two dogs in my life, Maxi being the current maniac in my home. The first dog is Minnie, who unfortunately passed on in 2018. So I guess both times I remember the feeling very clearly when I brought them home for the first time, and like they were my everything, you know, doing, watching them do everything for the first time and just, I don't know lah, just be their big sister. It was very fun and that feeling is amazing. So that's something I would love to relive. But then again, maybe I don't need to relive it. Maybe I can just get another dog and bring another dog into Maxie's life. But she would absolutely hate that. So another feeling that's top of that list up there is the day me and Chuck went out on our first date. Yay! Okay, next one is favorite part of my body. My backside. Okay, next one is if you weren't a content creator, what job would you do? What would I not do? Sorry, that's too much. Okay, honestly, I think I would be in some level of the media industry, of course. And I think possibly not like a front-facing, not like a camera-facing like type of job, but maybe in the I would probably be working in an advertising agency, doing some level of creative agency type work. So I think that would be quite fun. And that's also something I did right before leaving my full-time job, to be pretty pleased. So that was one of the jobs I did have. So yeah, I think I would enjoy that a lot. And agency life was pretty chaotic, but I think I was cut out for it and it was actually quite fun. So next question is, what three advice would you give someone who wishes to keep a Singapore special? Wow. Okay, I think you need to be very, very, very patient because most Singapore specials have a knack for being very skittish, very anxious, perpetually stressed out, and not necessarily like the friendliest breed of dogs because they are probably rescues, been through a lot as puppies, and maybe also have a lot of some level of behavioral issues because of past owners, abandonment stuff, you know, a lot of things like that. So I think patience is something you definitely need. So you need to be very patient because it will obviously be some level of demoralizing and stressful when you're trying to like train your dog and just teach them things that seem like very basic things, but when they have some level of trauma, they're also trying their best. So that's something I feel like I have to actively tell myself because it can be very stressful day to day when you own a very skittish, anxious dog that is very bad with new people and new pets, new animals also. So it can be very stressful lah. So you need to be patient. Just remember that your dog is your whole world. Your dog is their whole world. You are your dog's whole world. Thank you. I tried three times, yeah. I tried my best, yeah. But your dog can also be your whole world because she is my whole world. That's true. But yeah, I think every time like you... I struggle a lot with this because I feel like my schedule is all over the place. So I'm not necessarily home a lot. And even things like not being able to walk her as much, not being able to even be the one that gives her meals. And you feel that guilt lah, and you feel very bad lah. So I feel wherever you can, like choose to stay home or choose to like make an active decision to like, hey, you know what, let me go and make some time to do this with my dog. Because I think it could be a small thing we have to do in our like weekly or monthly schedule, but it could be life-changing for them lah. You know, it could be the happiest day that they had in a very, very long time and bring them so much joy. So yeah, that's something else I would definitely advise. But that's also for dog owners in general, not just Singapore specials. And I guess another specific Singapore special advice would just be to you need to train your dog when they're young, because that's something that I think I also struggled with, because we moved houses many, many times and it was a struggle to constantly have whichever pet dog we had at the time to adapt to the new surrounding, new setting, and to even be able to regularly bring your dog down for walks is such a privilege. And that was not something we were able to even incorporate into her life because of how chaotic everything was in our lives back then. So now, after we moved into this brand new house like a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago already now, she's been so much happier. She's just been in like... She has a routine. Setting a routine is very important, especially for anxious, skittish dogs. So I guess that's all the advice I can think off the top of my head. So yeah, if you're planning to adopt a Singapore special, then all the best. It will be one of the best decisions you ever make. Do you ever get scared of speaking out? And how do you deal with the fear? Wow. Go offline. That's how you deal with the fear. So if you speak out already, say something already, then suddenly delete all your accounts. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. But I guess that is true to an extent though. Like being able to go offline and giving yourself some space off social media and not being too concerned as to what like people are saying, whether or not they're agreeing with you, how they feel about something that you just put out on the internet. You know, like not being too, I guess, obsessed with what everyone is feeling or thinking about a piece of content that you just made. That definitely would help mental health wise. And just take your time to like go back, look at it. Of course, naturally, you cannot like ignore what people are saying, right? Because that's not in human nature to do something like that. But yeah, that's the best way to deal with it, lah. And of course, if you're saying something that could possibly come off as like controversial or something that's a very heavy, sensitive topic, I guess do your research, you know, take your time with it. If you need a second pair of eyes to look at it, look through something you want to put out there, and like just before being vulnerable on the internet, then there's no harm, lah. There's no harm in doing that. Take your time with it. There is no timeline for these things other than whatever you're setting for yourself, right? So that's the advice I would have for that, lah. Next is, do you find it hard to lose weight? Excuse me? Who's to say I'm even trying? Okay, no, I think this is a very tricky question because I do have PCOS. And one of the biggest things... ironic that I'm using that word, but one of the biggest things when it comes to PCOS is definitely the fact that weight gain is something that happens more often than not in a lot of women, and it's PCOS makes it extremely difficult to lose their weight. So that's why I feel I guess extra sensitive when people comment about my appearance or like anyone's appearance actually, or like their body, even if it's to compliment like, oh, you look like you lost weight, even to say something like that. It's like, when did it become okay to even talk about someone's body? You know? So it's just weird, even if it's a compliment. And it's tricky, especially when it's someone you don't really like have that kind of relationship with. Like, you don't talk about your struggles, your body, and how you feel about yourself. Like, you don't talk about these things to that person, and if they just were to make a generic ass comment about, oh, you look like you lost weight, you look like you slimmed down, and I kind of that so many times. I tell you here first, okay, since I hit puberty at like 12, right, I never lost a single kg. So everybody who has stupidly come up to me be like, hey, pretty, you look so slim, eh? You look like you lost weight already, eh? No, never in my life happened. So all of you full of shit. Okay, so I would say just not comment on people's body. I guess I personally find it hard to lose weight because I do have PCOS. But I'm trying my best. I'm trying a whole bunch of different things. And I'm also speaking to so many other people that I've met recently who also have PCOS. And I'm talking to them about how they are dealing with it. And I've heard so many different, like, varying, like, I guess, solutions or approaches to it. So it's been very insightful. And I guess I'll update y'all if I have any, like, suggestions or tips or anything like that whenever that happens. But yeah, I'm personally in a space where I'm still trying to figure it out for myself. So yeah. Next is, how do you start getting into Pilates? So I got very, very lucky because I have a friend, her name is Eugenia, and she has her own Pilates studio called B Studios. So that's where I go for Pilates. And Pilates is not something I would have ever in my life considered because it just feels like something not made for women like me. But that was obviously an assumption because of shitty societal standards and just stereotypes and things like that. So I never thought something like Pilates was for me. I just assumed it was for girls who looked the opposite of me. And Eugenia kept asking me to come down and give it a shot. And after I spoke to her extensively about how I have PCOS and my struggles and how I used to play basketball regularly. I used to do spin classes like once or twice a week. And I've tried all these things and nothing seems to work for me. And then something that a lot of people started telling me in the last year was that as somebody with PCOS, you should try slow weighted workouts. So that's when I was like, I know I don't have the motivation to actually pick up a weight and roll out a yoga mat in my house and watch something off YouTube and do it. I know I don't have that motivation in me, at least not yet. So I need to do something where there's someone else that can help hold me accountable. So if it means going to a group class or if it means going together with someone else, that would help, lah. And I got super lucky, lah, because Eugenia started her own studio that she has spoken to me about for years and that I've actually even went to the grand opening of but did not even think that I could do Pilates. And I tried my first session. It was amazing. It felt so good. And you feel like muscle aches in all the right places. It was one of those extreme sore feelings of a good workout. And I was like, damn, I have not felt this in years. And this was such a good feeling that I really wanted to feel it again and again and again, and it made me, it motivated me enough to be like, hey, you know what, I need to at least go for weekly classes. So that's how I got started. And I know a bunch of people who like watched my Instagram, saw my Pilates updates, and also started going for Pilates. So I'm like super excited to share more. If you guys have any questions, like DM me, let me know. Pilates is plus size girl friendly. It is PCOS girl friendly. If you have any injuries, you can always let any of your instructors know before class. They will help let you know like modifications you can do. The classes are also very small and intimate that you don't feel uncomfy or feel like anyone's like judging you. And something that I've also learned is that people really mind their own business when they go to exercise. Everybody's worried about what they are doing and if they're doing it right. And it's not something where you feel like people are looking at you, judging you, whatever. And trust me, I've been in extremely embarrassing situations that I put myself in Pilates classes, okay? I fully had like my period and I bled out one day in class. And even after that, I was like, felt horrible because it was just a very like, obviously you feel some level of embarrassment, right? But no, absolutely nobody made me feel that way other than myself and me feeling just very insecure about it. Everyone was supportive and kind and friendly, and I was like, damn, I'm so glad I come here for Pilates. I'm so glad I'm surrounded by people who make me feel safe and loved. So yes, I would highly recommend her studio. Go check out. I have a highlight reel on my Instagram page. I also have a promo code for like a discount on like your first sign up and stuff like that for group classes. So go check it out. Everything is on my Instagram highlights. And yes, highly recommend it. I've been to a whole bunch of different instructors' classes. Love going for like Eugenia's classes, Estelle's classes, Calista's classes. Everyone is amazing. Shauna is amazing. Everyone is great. Everyone's very kind. So sign up for any class and you should be in great hands. Okay, next one. Do you want to host NDP? Hello, hello. Do I look like Joaquin Gomez? No, I am pretty. Okay, do I want to host it? In all seriousness, it sounds like it would be an insane like job. Like, the scale of it is just massive. But also, like, just to be very realistic, we live in Singapore, lah. We all know the things that I've already talked about on the internet. We know why I've appeared on the news. We know all these things. Do you even think that I'll be considered? No. So I genuinely don't believe that's something that's an option, like, on the table for me. But of course, does it sound like a fun job that I would probably kick ass at? Yes. But will all my hopes and dreams be shattered if I don't get to? No. So yeah, next is places or place you want to travel to. I always say this even though I will do absolutely no research or make any steps to getting this goal achieved, but one day I want to go to Italy and eat pasta. That's all I want to do. Okay, next is, have you struggled to get used to being loved romantically as a plus size brown woman? Yes, but I guess I never thought of it that way. But I just struggle in general to be able to like accept love or be able to fathom the fact that another human being is choosing to be in my life this way and is choosing me every day. And that was something that was a struggle to realize lah and to come to terms with. And of course it was a bit life changing to be in love and to be loved like that. But I always did not really believe in the, oh, if you can't love yourself, you can't love anyone, you can't get in a relationship. If you don't love yourself, you're not ready for a relationship. I didn't really believe in subscribe to that thought process. But now as somebody who is in love and has been in love for the last almost 3 years, I understand where that's coming from. Like, I understand if you can't love yourself, you're not ready to love someone else. I don't believe that fully, but I see the struggles that I face in a relationship as somebody who doesn't fully love herself. So I see that and I'm coping with it. I'm trying my best and I do have a very, 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 very supportive partner. So I got lucky there too. But yeah, I think it just goes back to being able to communicate these feelings and also being self-aware enough to look inward and be like, actually, where is this coming from? You know, does this come from a place of me projecting a lot of my insecurities, and or is this actually like, you know, something else completely? So yeah, I do have struggles because of the lack of self-love, but I am trying my best and I think I'm taking steps to improve that line and the relationship that I have with myself. Okay, next. I feel insecure about my body. How do I deal with this? Wow, this one, I also trying, man. So we just gotta figure it out. I guess don't subscribe to people on the internet or like follow people on the internet that like put this kind of like toxic positivity type things online because it doesn't really help you with how you're dealing with. Don't follow content creators who fat shame. Don't follow people who will make you feel like shit for looking some type of way. That's just, to me, the most basic things you can do. Don't follow random skinny girls who will Photoshop themselves and make themselves fat. And then I'll be like, well, y'all still love me if I'm fat. Like, don't follow people who do this kind of shit because that will mess up with your mental health. And that's not worth it because people will sit there and talk about like some hypothetical what if they're fat. But that's your reality and you have to deal with it. So, yeah, I would say don't subscribe to that kind of toxic thought processes or ideologies on the internet by choice, you know, like if you can just remove that from your feed and all that, out of sight, out of mind lah. And I'm sure there's already a lot of noise in your own mind, you know, you don't need this kind of shit on your Instagram feed, TikTok feed, whatever you are using. So that's a big tip I would give you, but yeah, having a support system, of course, one of the biggest, the best things that you can do lah for yourself, a strong support system. Next one is, what's a perfect day for you like? Wow. When nobody in the world talk to me, just leave me alone. Let me just hang out with my dog and just not interact with a human being. Okay, next. Sorry lah, I sound like a people hater, but I am. And also, okay, a perfect day honestly just sounds like a day that's very chill, a day where I do not need to use my phone to do anything at all, a day where I can actually do anything at all that makes me smile and laugh. And I don't know, because some absurd things make me smile and laugh, so I can't really think of it. But it'd be nice to be able to hang out with my dog all day and just people that I love all day and not be subjected to external forces, aka other people. Okay, next one is, what's some career advice you have for anyone who wants to be an online creator? Why you want to do this to yourself? That's the question. I guess advice is, you must have very thick skin. Do whatever you want to do that makes you happy, but also be cautious about how it's going to make someone else feel. Especially if you're talking about being an online content creator on the internet. Don't do things at someone else's expense just for a laugh. That's something that I feel like we, like in general, when it comes to doing comedy content, that's important. Yeah. And also, don't change who you are and what you believe in just to fit in or just to be able to say what you think you're supposed to say lah, because that's lame. And yeah, you need to do what makes you you, because that's probably why somebody will want to follow you. Okay, so next is, what is the most embarrassing thing you've done this year? Most embarrassing thing I've done this year. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I perpetually have more secondhand embarrassment than my own embarrassment. But also, I can't think of one big incident that I did that like I was like, oh, I regret. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I can't think of it. That's why I'm struggling. I don't know lah. But I guess people who know me, if you can let me know what embarrassing thing I did this year, that would be helpful, because I cannot think of one right now. Next one is, if Maxi could talk, do you think you'd enjoy that? She's literally staring at me as I try to answer this question. I think I would not enjoy that because I don't know if she'll have nice things to say to me. Like, honestly, I feel like I'm all up in her business all the time, all up in her face. Every time she tries to eat her own ass, I'm constantly stopping her. Like, I don't think she would have nice words. I think she would cuss me out, and I don't think I'll enjoy that. So maybe if I can pick when to on and off the volume, you know, then I don't mind. If she were to be like that dog from Up, like Doug from Up, that I think would be very, very cute. As long as there's a mute button, because I don't think she would say nice things to me. Anyways, I bet she says this. She's thinking the same thing about me every day. Like, she's like, oh, I wish Pretty has a mute button. She's very cute though. Okay, next is, favorite superhero. Wow. Okay, this one I think I don't ever talk about, but a trilogy that I think is one of the best trilogies I've ever watched in my life is the Dark Knight trilogy. But am I a DC girl, a Marvel girl? I'm a Marvel girl. So Batman is not my favorite superhero, but I did enjoy that trilogy a lot. Favorite Marvel superhero? I don't know. I do like Superman. Hey, wow, I say Superman, yeah. I do like Spider-Man, I mean. Say Superman cover. I never watched before, best part. But, yeah, I do like Spider-Man a lot. But I wouldn't say my favorite, lah. Did like Iron Man a lot. I love Thor just because Chris Hemsworth. That's about it. I really, really liked Black Panther. Oh my god, okay, I think that's my answer. My answer is Black Panther. Why did I not think of that? So yes, Black Panther is my favorite superhero. If you could be any animal for a day, what would you be? Cannot be dog. Then what's the point? What's the point of this question? Okay, so obviously I would pick dog because they're the cutest thing in the world. But if I can't pick dog, then I guess maybe I pick monkey so I can steal water bottle from children. So last time when I young, I go Batu Caves, then the monkey come and snatch the water bottle from me. And it's not my water bottle, you know. Wow, it's my brother's water bottle. So me being the best sister in the world, want to fight the monkey. The monkey, I just walking up the 5 million stairs, and then the monkey trying to snatch this. And it's best part, this is not even like a personal water bottle type thing. It was a random Sprite bottle that was reused as a water bottle, okay? So like, I should have just let it go, but I did not let it go. And this monkey was snatching the water bottle at me, and then in my head, I felt the guilt of the whole world, and I said, this is my brother's bottle, I cannot let go. So I pulled back from the monkey, and then the monkey scratched my hand, and then the monkey pulled the bottle and ran away. So do I have rabies or something? Maybe. What? Do monkeys carry rabies? I don't even know. But anyways, yes, I tried my best to snatch the bottle back. But yes, I guess I'll be a monkey lah, because I feel like you can get away with doing a lot of chaotic things. And you can do it at like a lot of normal settings in Singapore. Like you can go MacRitchie Reservoir, steal everybody's food. You know, and like even my house here also got a lot of monkeys. So yeah, I feel like you can steal a lot of things from a lot of children and have a lot of fun. So I'll be a monkey. I also really like bananas. Next is my favorite cartoon character. My all-time favorite cartoon in the world has to be SpongeBob SquarePants. It is the bestest show in the world. I think favorite cartoon lah is the bestest cartoon in the world. Okay, fine. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know who's my favorite character. I love Patrick. Do not like Mr. Krabs. I feel like I have a lot of Squidward and Mrs. Puff energy. As an adult, now I look at them, I'm like, yeah, I'm Squidward because I don't want to really be anywhere, and people having joy sometimes just annoys me. But but yeah, I think I have Squidward energy as an adult. But when I was younger, I probably had a combination of SpongeBob and Patrick, which I enjoyed a lot. So, the final question is, what is something strange about you no one knows? Okay, so it took me a while to think about this one. I don't think this is strange particularly, but after speaking to Kai Ying, actually, we came to the conclusion that this is something that I do that I don't, it's so subconscious and I don't even have to think twice about doing it. But I do this every day of my life, every waking moment. I constantly have receipts. Not physical receipts that I collect from the store, but no matter what is happening in the world, I see anything in the world, best believe a picture will be taken, a video will be taken, or screenshots will be taken. And I do this without thinking twice. It is quite scary. Like literally just that day I was on a bus and there was this child in a pram on the bus. And it's a child, like it's a 1-2-year-old child who was pressing the wheelchair button, the wheelchair doorbell, bus stop bell, non-stop. And then the parent didn't notice this was happening, but the bus driver saw it all happening. And the bus driver started yelling, like at his seat, he's yelled like, stop pressing, whoever pressing, stop pressing, like he was screaming. And you're yelling at 1-year-old, so obviously the child didn't know that, right? And then the uncle stopped the bus at some point to get out, and he walked like gangster, it was so scary, just to go there and point at the doorbell. He literally pointed at it and stared at the parent. Like it was no words were exchanged. And he just stared, deaf stare. And you can tell the family's not Singaporean and they're clearly not from here. And it was very, wow, it was so scary. And I felt so like, that's so mean, because he could have very easily, when he realized it was a child, he could have just said, can you ask your son to stop pressing? Or like, can you make sure he don't press because I need to stop the freaking bus and I would think it's a wheelchair passenger, right? And the whole time I was sitting close to the back of the bus and I just like, auto reaction was to just take a video of the whole thing. So I literally have a video of this angry ass bus uncle who was just honestly quite mean to this family and the child. But yes, I constantly take receipts of everything. Every time I see anything, it doesn't even have to be problematic, eh? But if I think it's some level of questionable, I have a screenshot, eh? And you know that I have at least, I have close to 200k media in my phone. And I bet you, right, at least 40% of it, receipts. And it's quite sad because I take a lot of videos and pictures every day of random things that I don't want to forget and that I'm enjoying, of course. But, wow, I'm really quite psycho like that, eh? And then I realized that it could even just be a message, like a text message from someone that I'm like, okay, this one I confirm you send them next time because whatever they're saying now is stupid. Then I'll just take a screenshot. And last time I dated this loser that sent me some MRT riddle. Some MRT, Singapore MRT station's riddle or some shit. Immediately take a screenshot to send everybody to ask them to guess the riddle. But also to be like, what is going on? What kind of weird fever dream am I in? Why am I dating this? Very questionable, man. So, yeah, I have receipts of everything. Best believe if you have ever texted me, I have receipts. Not even like, I don't even know, eh? I don't even know what I'm saying. But also, these receipts have come in very handy because when you work in the kind of field that I work in, I feel like to protect yourself, you need to always be like, naturally remember to do these things, especially if you're a freelancer, you're an independent creator. You always need to protect yourself. Black and white, very important. Emails, text messages, all these things, very important. So I learned that the hard way. And I think that is why I'm very like constantly on my, like have my guard up. I'm constantly very ready to like, you know what? I can pull up receipts if we need. If we need to, I can always reference something that has happened before. And that also makes me damn good at giving advice to people because I gonna this kind of bullshit way too often. And I know too many people who also have people that try and scam them and all that. So yeah, this comes from someone who has been scarred and learned the hard way lah. So yes, always protect yourself. And now we've come to the end of the episode. But before that, kring kring, it is time for your unsolicited advice of the week. So this week, I just want to remind y'all that at the end of the day, even though you can ask me anything in the world on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever, remember that sometimes you are allowed to have your own opinion. You don't need to ask one. Sometimes influencers don't know anything. Let's not forget that. We're all human beings. So feel free to do your own research. You know, you can always ask somebody what's their opinion, advice based off their own experience. But use your brain. Sometimes I'm dumb, man. I don't know anything. So don't take my word for everything and anything at all. Just hear what I have to say and form your own opinions because that is how the internet should work. Don't believe everything you hear, everything you see, but keep asking me things so I can have fun and answer them in an episode like this. And if you have any more unhinged questions that I haven't answered, maybe I should put the phone down now. But if you have any more unhinged questions that you want me to answer or any fun stuff that you actually want to know, very happy to share. So I hope this episode was insightful, helpful, useless also. I hope so lah. But I hope you had fun at least. Okay, so I will catch you at the next episode of the Pretty Girls Club, where the uglies are always welcome, even though I didn't say it at the start of the episode. Bye!